Well, that's incredible. Yeah. I just got back from Africa, and in the church I preached at there, there was a word of testimony, and a lady came up with her daughter, and her daughter had had a tumor on her shoulder, and she brought up this paperwork and said that they were going to go in and take care of the tumor, and they couldn't find it anymore. And the way they do things in Africa, they had somebody in the church who was a medical professional come up and read the paperwork and make sure it was legit. And so it was just incredible to see God's work, and we believe that God still works today in people's lives, and we believe in the healing power of God. So that's a wonderful testimony, and hopefully it's an inspiration to those that are praying, that are, you know, steadfast, that are supporting people that are going through difficult times. Well, today we are going to look at the book of Jonah. So if you have your Bibles or your electronic devices and you want to open them to the book of Jonah, kind of hard to find in the Old Testament there, kind of around Obadiah. Feel free to, whoever needs to be dismissed, feel free. Yeah. It happens in my church too, that we send the youth out right around the message time. So we're just going to look at chapter 1 today in the book of Jonah, and I've called this message The Jonah in Us. Most of the time we hear of Jonah mostly as a kid's story that we hear in Sunday school or in youth group or whatnot. And we've all heard about it, so it's something that's familiar. What we don't understand sometimes is that we may be a lot more like Jonah than we think. And so today we're going to look at that a little bit. Came across a story. It's an older one, so you may have heard this before. It was about a little girl who was talking to her teacher about whales and how she heard in Sunday school about how a whale had swallowed Jonah. And so the teacher, who was a little more scientifically astute, was telling this little girl, well, that's a physical impossibility because whales' throats are not big enough to swallow a human being. And the little girl was staying steadfast in her belief that Jonah was swallowed by a whale and continued to tell the teacher that. And the teacher began to get irritated. And finally, the teacher stated again that a whale cannot swallow a human, and that it was physically impossible. And the little girl says, well, I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah. And the teacher replied kind of smugly, well, what if Jonah isn't in heaven? And she said, well, then you can ask him. All right, so what we're going to do with Jonah here is we're going to look at a story that's very familiar to us, and just kind of see how God wants to speak to us through the story of Jonah. I'm just going to read the first three verses in the book, and it says this: the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now, most people think that prophets or pastors or people who have a close relationship with God have no trouble following through and doing what God wants them to do. However, that's simply not true. In fact, if you look throughout the scriptures, you find people who are violating God's word even when they're in leadership. Abraham, who was called by God to be the father of the nation of Israel, what happens? He goes to a country and tells the king that his wife is his sister. So here he goes lying. And then you've got, you know, his nephew Lot, who believes in God, but he makes choices and decisions that eventually have him right in the middle of Sodom and Gomorrah, living in a city with many, many immoral people. Now, there's nothing wrong. I live in a city with many immoral people as well. So it's not necessarily that there's anything wrong with that. But when they start influencing you more than you're influencing them, then there's problems. And so there's others in the scripture. We see Peter denying Christ. We see many people who are called of God but don't obey or don't listen to what God has for them. So just before we begin, I just want to look at some words and some of the meaning behind those words. Jonah has been referred to as the reluctant prophet because he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. Now, his name actually means dove or the peaceful one. But since he ended up disobeying God, they began to call him the reluctant prophet. Now, the next word is Amittai. That was Jonah's father. And the word Amittai means truth. And that's a great name for a prophet, to be the son of truth. How about that? And then we have Nineveh. And Nineveh was Israel's worst enemy. And I'm going to get into that a little bit more of why they were the worst enemy of the Israelites at that time. So Jonah 1:1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai." The good news today, if you're looking for good news today, here it is. God speaks to his people, all right? He spoke to people in biblical times. He still speaks to people today. If you're a follower of his, if you're receptive, if your heart is open, you can hear the Lord. Now, God has been speaking since day one. When he initially spoke, he spoke the world into creation. Every day he spoke and something else took place. And eventually, God sent us his son. And in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us," speaking of Christ himself. God is a speaking God. Now, throughout history, God has spoken in different ways. Initially, in the Old Testament, you've got God speaking audibly, verbally to people. Now, I've never heard God's verbal audible voice, but I've had a lot of different impressions many times in my life that I felt God has spoken to me. Mostly before the written scriptures, God spoke audibly. And then you have God speaking through the prophets, through the priests, through the kings in scripture. You have God speaking through the disciples. Sometimes God speaks through different circumstances in our life. Things come up and we ask ourselves, hey, is God saying anything to me through this? And then, of course, we believe that God speaks through the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I was referring to, hearing God, sensing God. When you're connected with God and in tune with God, much easier to hear his voice and respond to it. Now, if you've never, ever heard the voice of the Lord, you're going to hear it today. I guarantee it, without a doubt. In fact, we've already heard it. Because anytime we read the scriptures, you're hearing the voice of God. That's God speaking to you and to me. So if you really want to hear what God's saying, all you got to do is open up your Bible and start reading it. Now, there's some people that are like, well, it's kind of hard to understand, and I don't get it here or there. One of the easiest places to read in the Bible is the book of Proverbs. It's wisdom literature. It has wise sayings. The book of Psalms is an easy book to read. So if you're ever wondering, and you're kind of stumped, and you don't want to dig into the Word, or you're not sure where to go, just start. It's right in the middle of the Bible. Pretty easy. But God speaks to us through His Word, because it's not just words on a page. It's not just a 2,000-year-old book of collective sayings. The Holy Spirit speaks through God's Word. The question isn't, will God speak or does God speak? The question is, will you respond? And are you responding to the word of the Lord? So, it's important to know this, that God will speak to you. That's the good news. But when he does speak, sometimes he asks us to do things that we don't want to do. God will ask you to do things that you do not want to do. Now, the reason sometimes that we don't want to do what God wants us to do or speaks to us about doing is because we know better. We have it all together, right? We know what's going on. We know what's happening. We know what's best. When God spoke to me, without a doubt, to start Discovery Church from scratch with no people, I didn't want to do it. I did not want to do it. And so I thought, well, this can't be God. I must have had some bad pizza last night. This isn't God speaking to me to go start a church. I was so comfortable where I was at. I was the senior associate pastor in a large church that had a preschool through high school. I had started a counseling center there. I had professional counselors working under me. I'm a therapist also, licensed in Nevada and California. And I was brought there to start a counseling ministry. We had support groups going. Everything was going great in the church. I had a relationship with the pastor that was wonderful. You know, sometimes when your boss calls you up on the phone and says, hey, what are you doing? You know, you kind of need to be busy, you know. So he calls me up one day, Dean, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm doing this and this and this and this. And he's like, oh, shoot, I was hoping you could get out and we could go golfing. I said, well, all these things can wait. Let's get out. Let's take care of business. And so I had that kind of a relationship with the pastor. We were friends. We were colleagues. We worked together, and it was wonderful. And quite frankly, I didn't want to leave. I was making better money than I'd ever made in my entire life, and you don't get into ministry for that. But it just happened that I had been there for about a dozen years at that point, and things were comfortable. And I knew God wanted me to be comfortable. God wouldn't want me to be uncomfortable, would he? Sometimes he asks us to do things that we don't want to do. So I thought, well, okay, I'm going to go and talk to Randy about this. But he's going to tell me, no, that's not God. Just stick it out here. Things are better. And I thought he would just push it away. And then if he did that, well, I'm in submission to his leadership, right? So then I could just stay. So I share this with him, and he says, well, if that's what you're thinking, then maybe we need to take it to the board. I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that. And so I thought, well, the board will put the kibosh on it too. So it'll end there. So we end up in a board meeting, and they're like, well, if this is what you're thinking, then we want to support you. And I'm like, this is not going the way I wanted it to. I did not want to do this. This is wrong. One of the board members says, I'll go out and help you. And I'm like, this is really going bad. Now Randy's going to be mad at me. I'm taking his board members to start another church in the same town. This isn't the way it's supposed to work out. Well, 20 years later, and believe it or not, the church has still survived. It's thriving. We're right now looking at two different potential properties to purchase, to have our own facility. We're not like you guys. I wish we had a paid-off facility, but we don't. We're renting, so we want to get into a different kind of place. Our rent went up 50% last year, 50. And so, at any rate, long story. I tend to make stories longer on occasion, but I didn't want to do that. But God wanted me to do that. And I eventually submitted, but pastors sometimes don't like to follow God either. And you read about their stories all over the place. So I thought I was best. I knew what was best for my future, my finances, my family. But I didn't know what was best because God knows things we don't know. So in the context of Jonah, we see this take place in verse number 2. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, God tells him, because its wickedness has come up before him. Now, you might think, well, what's the problem? This is what Jonah does. He's like a prophet. He goes out and preaches, right? He tells people what God wants them to say. Well, that's true. So why didn't he follow this very simple assignment? Why didn't he just do what God told him? Well, the people of Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, and Assyria was an empire that was known for its brutality. When they would attack, they would pillage everyone, they would kill children, they would rape the women, they would actually take the men, they would skin them alive, they would bury them in hot sand, pull their tongue out of their mouth, and stake it to the ground, and let them die of thirst. That's how barbaric these people were. They were like ISIS and Hamas and Hezbollah on steroids. They were evil. And so what would happen is there were some times that when people heard that the Assyrians were coming to conquer them, that entire towns would actually commit suicide because they didn't want to be subjected to this kind of brutal treatment. And so now you can get a better idea of why Jonah didn't want to go there. It wasn't just like, oh, like some kid who disobeying his parents. Jonah, who knows, maybe he had a relative killed by the Assyrians. We don't know. Maybe he was fearing for his own life. If I go and tell these people they're going to hell if they don't repent, that's not going to be good for me. They're going to destroy me, and I don't want to go down that way. So he had a variety of different reasons to not want to do what God wanted him to do. And my question to you today is God asking any of you to do something that you don't want to do? Maybe it's not a big, massive thing. Maybe it's forgiving somebody. Maybe it's stepping out in faith in your finances to begin tithing, but you're afraid. And you're like, well, I'm not sure about that whole thing. Maybe God wants you to use your spiritual gifts in ministering in this community. And you're like, well, I don't want to do that. I don't even know if I have a spiritual gift. Well, everybody's got spiritual gift. Once you're saved, you're given a gift by God. And you can develop that gift. And there's 100 ways to find out what your spiritual gift is. Maybe you're dating somebody and you feel good about it, but they're not a believer and they're not taking you down the right path. You don't want to break up, but God's saying, hey, you need to move in a different direction. I don't know. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what God may be saying to you, but I do know that he speaks to us, and I do know that sometimes we don't like to obey. That's the Jonah in us. That's the fight that we have sometimes. It's also important to know that delayed obedience is disobedience. Waiting and not doing what God wants you to do is disobedience. I'm shocked at how many parents teach their kids, without even knowing it, unconsciously, delayed obedience. I'll tell you how they do it. I've worked with kids. I worked in a psychiatric hospital for children and adolescents for 4 years in California, and I've taught parenting. I've got kids of my own. I got 4 grandkids now. But this is how people teach kids delayed obedience. They basically tell the child's doing something, and they say, stop doing that. And the child continues doing that. And so they repeat themselves. I said stop it. Nothing happens. So then the parent says, if you don't stop, I'm going to punish you. Or you're going to get this. Keeps going. I told you I was going to punish you. What message is the child getting? Nothing's going to happen. Now, my kids have done this. I see it. I cringe, but hey, it happens. Now they start counting. I'm going to count to 5. First it was 3. It's gone up to 5 now, just in case you're wondering. I keep track of this stuff. 1, if you don't stop, by the time I get to 3, I'm going to get the wooden spoon, or you're going to be in timeout. 2, you know, and I mean, this thing goes on for 15 minutes, and you're sitting there going, oh my gosh, don't do this. You're torturing me, not the kid. But that's a common thread. Basically, teaching first-time obedience as a parent is important. You may have heard the story about the missionary who had taught their children first-time obedience. And they were out in the bush in the jungle, and his kid was over underneath a tree, and the missionary tells his kid, come over here right now. His kid runs over, stands by him. They turn around and look, and there was a big old python up in the tree right above the kid. That kid could have dilly-dallied around forever and stood there until the snake had his way. God wants us to obey when he asks us. He wants us to step out. Now, I know there's some gray areas like, well, is God really asking me to do this or not? And that's where sometimes leadership comes into play in churches. You know, just because you think God's telling you to come up and preach every Sunday, that really may not be God. Maybe, you know, God's telling you to do A, B, or C. Check with the church leadership. That will help confirm what God may be saying to you. But God does want us to obey him, and he doesn't want us to delay. Erwin Manis, who's a pastor of a church in California, says, you can tell the maturity level of a believer by the distance in time it takes them to obey God. If they obey in a short amount of time, they're mature. But if it takes them a long, long time to obey, they're immature. So, the word of the Lord will come to you. Are you going to obey it, even when it's something you don't want to do? Now, whenever God does speak, this is the second point, you can always find a ship sailing in the wrong direction. When God says do this, there's always something, someone that will want to point you in a different direction. Those of you who have been saved out of a life of deeper sin than others, I'll just say, you know what it's like if you're steeped in drugs. I came out of drugs when I was an adolescent, and coming out of it wasn't easy. My friends were always trying to get me back in, to go smoke pot with them, to go do whatever. And it wasn't easy saying, no, I'm not doing that anymore. Come on, Dean, you know you liked it. I did like it. But it made me lazy. It made me not want to be motivated. I know pot's legal now, so anybody can smoke it. Typically, those are the people that are 42 living in their parents' basement, you know? It's just the reality of it, and that's where I would have been if I wouldn't have got off. But there was always a ship going in the wrong direction for me, and it'll be the same way for you. Here's what happens in Jonah, verse 3. We read it. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, which was a portside city, where he found a ship bound for that port. Today it's called Jaffa, just in case you're looking it up and you can't find it in Israel. The two P's are F's. So where he found a ship bound for that port, after paying the fare, he went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish to free from the Lord. Jonah wanted to run from God. He made a conscious choice. I'm not going where God wants me to go. Now, Nineveh, just so you can get an idea on the map, Nineveh is about 550 miles to the west of where Jonah is, and Tarshish is 2,500 miles to the east. So we're not just talking about, oh, God, you want me to go to L.A., I'll go to Overton. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, God, you want me to go to L.A., I'm going to New York. That's kind of what it was like, just to give you an idea. So, Jonah knew he was running from God. He made a conscious choice. And sometimes we do that in our life. We say, God, I know you want me over here, but I'm going this way. And that's what Jonah did. Now, other people, they don't make a conscious choice to go away from God. They do this thing called drifting. And I don't have any real young people, but drifting now, drifting is what they do in cars when they spin around. You guys know that? Anybody young here that actually knows about that stuff? Oh, okay, somebody does. All right. Yeah, it's not just spinning around in a car. Drifting, I like to fish. Okay, most of my fishing I do up in Utah, up in Panguitch or Otter or the mountain creeks up there. Number one, because it's 100 times cooler. And I just like to get, everybody likes to get out of Vegas. So I drive up there. Well, I've had a few boats in my day. Started out with about a 12-foot aluminum boat and graduated up to what I recently got. It's a 25-year-old boat, but to me, it's like a new boat. It's a Bayliner Capri, so it's like a big deal. And so there I am. Me and my buddy are up there fishing, and even when we put the anchors down, we tend to drift. And so I'm fishing away from the shore, don't realize what's going on. Before I know it, we're like from here to the wall, from the rocks on the shore. I'm like, oh my gosh, we gotta take care of this. And that's what happens sometimes with people of God. They just start drifting just a little bit. Not enough to even notice the difference. Just a little at a time. And it might be little things. Maybe still attend church, but maybe your Bible reading kind of slacks off, or prayer time, or individual devotions, or whatever. Just starts to slow down. Who knows? Maybe church attendance slows down. And before you know it, you're drifting, and you're getting close to the rocks. Well, when your point of reference is not God, it's easy to drift away from Him. When my point of reference wasn't the shore, it's easy to crash into it. So everybody needs to have the right point of reference. And that will help you be able to focus, and hopefully it'll help you not take a boat sailing in the wrong direction. But if you do happen to take that boat sailing in the wrong direction, like Jonah, you have a little Jonah in you, then God may send you a storm to get your attention. He may send something your way to say, hey, you're drifting. Something's going on. It says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Now, this wasn't a rowboat. This was a freighter, if you want to look at it that way. In that day, people who would ship goods, and remember, this ship was going to Spain from Israel. So it was going to a whole other country, and business people would put their goods on that ship to send it to other countries. And they're not going to put it on some flimsy boat. This was a solid ship, sturdy ship, and the storm that came was massive enough to tear this particular boat apart. Now, in that day and age, when bad things happened, they didn't just attribute it to anything. They typically attributed it to a person. So, let's just say a fire happened at New Hope Church in Overton. They might start looking for people. Who was it? Who brought that fire to the church? Whose fault was it? And what they would do in biblical times is they would do this thing called casting lots. You may have heard of that before in the Old Testament. It was done more so. It was only done once in the New Testament, and we don't promote casting lots today. It's kind of like, we would probably say it's close to flipping a coin, close to like drawing straws, or even maybe even rolling some dice. So we would say that's more chance-related nowadays. But in biblical times, that's how they figured stuff out. So what they do on this boat is they start casting these lots, and the lot falls to Jonah. And so they come to Jonah, and they're like, who are you? What are you doing on this boat? What's happening? And this is what Jonah says in verses 9 and verse 10. He says, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and dry land. Now, these people, typically, polytheism was very common in biblical times. So what these people would do, they would worship any god of anything just to make sure they had themselves covered. So that's just kind of how the mentality worked. And when they hear, oh my gosh, he's worshiping the God that made the sea and the land, we're in trouble. And this terrified them, and they ask, what have you done? They knew he was running from the Lord because he had already told them so. He told them he was running. And he tells them, throw me overboard. Well, this storm blows up, and he starts thinking, Jonah, maybe I better actually listen to God now. God's getting my attention. And so he decides he's going to start obeying God. One of the biggest problems in, I think, the church at large in America today is that we have people calling themselves followers of Christ, believers, Christians, but they don't live according to the teachings of Christ. In fact, in some churches now, they're saying Christians really don't look any different than non-believers. And that's a little bit of a problem, because we're supposed to be, the Bible says we're supposed to be called out. We're supposed to be the ones that are called to be separate from people in the world. Now, that doesn't mean you can't associate with them, but many churches have fallen into the idea of, well, we just all want to blend in. Well, there's nothing wrong with wearing the same kind of clothes as other people. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to be able to have a different testimony. What's God doing in your life? Where are you at? And so the other thing is, when we become disobedient to God, you're not the only one that it affects. It affects everybody around you. When Jonah was disobedient, it didn't just affect him. It affected people who didn't even know him. Typically, when we're disobedient, it affects those closest to us first, but then it affects everybody else. And so Jonah is affecting everybody. So don't think just because nobody else knows about it, it's not affecting them. That's not true. That's a lie. But Jonah did something here that's important to know. He took responsibility. He owned it. Yeah, it's me. I'm the one. I blew it. I'm going to own it and throw me overboard. Well, they didn't want to do that, because now they're afraid. Oh no, what if we do this? We're going to get judged. But Jonah tells them, go ahead and do it. And so they do it. And Jonah gets thrown over. And he's swallowed by a great fish or a huge fish. Doesn't really say a whale, but because the old King James probably had whale in it from when they were interpreting back then, we now know it was a great fish or huge fish. Doesn't really matter. God can do whatever God wants to do. But when we're being disobedient, when we're taking a ship in the wrong direction, and God sends a storm to get our attention, if that isn't enough, sometimes you end up with what Jonah ended up with, which was his worst nightmare. Jonah ended up with his worst nightmare, but that was exactly what he needed. He needed the worst nightmare to happen to him. 15 through 17 says, they took Jonah, they threw him overboard, and the sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord, made vows. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The worst possible thing that could have happened to Jonah happens, but it was exactly what he needed. Now in the church, oftentimes we blame the devil when things go wrong. The devil did this. The devil did that. I got a flat tire. The devil must want me to keep from this or keep me from that. I'm not big on blaming the devil for everything. I believe there's a devil. I believe the devil's out there. I believe the devil wants to battle for your soul. But I believe that God can speak to us a lot more through circumstances than we have to be worried about the devil trying to do something to us. It's important. I say that to say this. When God brings us to our worst nightmare, maybe it's financial ruin. Maybe it's a relationship that is separated. Maybe it could be a marriage. It could be with kids. It could be anything. God will get your attention. And the reason God does this is because he loves you and cares about you. God doesn't bring catastrophes in your life just to ruin your life. Now, we're people in America, and quite frankly, people in America think everything should be comfortable all the time, and we should have a great life, and we should be making more money and get more things and get more things and more money, and that's how we're happy. That isn't how life works. And people who have more money and more things will tell you that. But God wants to get your attention because He knows what's best for you. He knows the direction you need to be moving. And I will say this, not all terrible things that happen to you is God trying to get your attention. It may just be God trying to see what your character's like. Because God cares more about what happens in you than what happens to you. I'll say that again. God cares more about what happens in you than what happens to you because He's concerned about your character. And when things on the outside start happening, He wants to know, what are you like? Because you may not be ready for the next step God has for you yet. And if He sees you melt down and freak out, then He knows, huh? I can't ask them to do this. Not only would they say no, they're not ready for it yet. So God brings things our way to fulfill His purposes. We can whine like American Christians often do. And I don't mean to be negative here today. My wife would be in the back row going like this. Stop it. You're talking negative. Quit that. And I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody here. You guys live in a bedroom community, and it's probably not steeped with, you know, capitalism and getting things the way, you know, we are back in Vegas. But the reality is God may allow certain things to happen to get our attention, but that's because God has a plan, and His plan demands our obedience. God wants to work with you. I didn't write this down. I don't even know if I can remember it, but I'm going to try. Without God, I can't. When it comes to things about yourself, without me, God won't. Without God, I can't. Without me, God won't. God wants you involved. If you want to change, you can stop God from changing you. God's given you a free will. But if you submit to Him, if you obey Him, that's when His blessings and peace will flood into your life. That's when it'll happen. The word of the Lord will come to you, and you'll have a choice. You can obey or disobey. And when God speaks to you, you can always find a ship sailing in the wrong direction if you choose to take it. If you do not obey, God may send a storm to get your attention. And if that doesn't get it, He may allow you to experience your worst nightmare. And when He does, He's doing it out of His love for you. He wants to bring you back to Himself. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your word today. Sometimes we don't like to hear what Your word says. Sometimes we're like Jonah. We have some of Jonah in us. And Lord, I just pray, I confess right now my Jonah parts. When I don't want to do something because I think I know what's best, Lord, help us to submit to You, to submit to Your direction in our life. Friends, I don't know if anybody's here that the Spirit is speaking to through this message, but maybe you're here today and maybe, first of all, you really aren't even hearing from God. And you're saying, you know what, I want to hear from God. I know God speaks. Maybe God spoke to me in the past and I haven't heard from Him in a long time. If you're here today and you just want to hear from God, I just want to pray for you. Just raise your hand up and I'm not going to call anybody out or have anybody come forward. Yeah, anybody else this morning? Yeah, several. Maybe you're here this morning and you are hearing from God, but you're kind of delaying your disobedience, or maybe you're not even sure if it really is God. Maybe you're just waiting to say, well, God, I don't think that's you yet. If that's you, I just want to tell you, take a step forward. Step out in faith. Sometimes God helps us to see his plan and his will by things not working out. We step into something and it's a total flop. That can be God giving us direction. And I'm just going to ask you, take a step forward. Talk to some of the church leadership. Call Pastor Dave, Pastor Stan, or myself. Be more than happy to talk with you. But take steps forward in your relationship with God. I hope there's nobody here that's in the middle of your worst nightmare, but it may be happening. It's happened to me before. It's happened to most people at some time in our life. And I just want to say to you this morning that if that's where you're at, God loves you, God cares about you, and he wants you connected to himself. And if you have drifted away, maybe not even on purpose, it just happened because of the waves, kind of you were oblivious to it, and before you know it, you're kind of drifting in the wrong direction. God wants to get your attention today. Let's all stand together this morning, and I'm just going to close our service in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here today, and I think you brought them here for a purpose and a reason, and you know what that is. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in their hearts and lives. I pray for those that are wanting to hear from you and want to take that next step. Lord, I pray that they would be disciplined and diligent enough to open up your scriptures to hear from you, Lord. That they would be receptive and open up their hearts to submitting to your will and your purposes for their lives. I pray that this week they would specifically open their scriptures and ask you to speak to them about what you have for their life and their future. And Lord, I pray for others that are here that maybe have found themselves drifting, wherever instance they may be in, I pray that they would know without a shadow of a doubt that you love them, that you care for them, and that you want them as close to you as possible. And Lord, I pray that during this next week, they would be able to remember your word and be able to refer back to one of your prophets, Jonah, just to see not only how much they're like him, but how much they can learn from him and how much you want them to be obedient, like Jonah eventually became. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, friends.